Good day. It is great to gather and celebrate and worship our Lord. It's a great day. May you be experiencing showers of blessings from above. Whatever you may be facing, whatever circumstances you are addressing, the rain from above, the blessings from above, is always present. So rely on the Lord, trust in the Lord, and lean not into your own understanding. Next week, I'm going to let you know, we were going to try to live stream today, but it didn't quite work out, and of course we're making adjustments for some weather that's coming. And so we thought it best to wait a week. So, if you would, we're going to plan on next Sunday, Lord permitting, to go live stream at 10 o'clock. Also in that service, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper. So I'd like to invite you to have your bread and your juice ready. And so when we get to that part in the service, we can share together. And so we're looking forward to the live stream. It's kind of a way of stepping in to being, if we're not here physically, we can at least see a place that is so familiar to us and brings and triggers so many good memories and experiences for us. And so that's a step closer to meeting face to face. So let persons know we'll be live streaming next week at 10 o'clock, and we'll still be doing the podcast, so you don't have to worry about missing out there. But thought we would give you that update, and we're looking forward to it as another way in which we can meet together, celebrate, and worship the Lord. Today is a beautiful day because God created it, and we're permitted to live it. It's a beautiful day. It's a great day. So as we honor God through this worship celebration, may you be uplifted by the musical selections. As we join in prayer, may all our hearts be lifted to God's throne of grace. As we study His Word today, Help us to distinguish between truth and falsehood. As we also study the Word and are taught in our daily life by the living Word, Jesus, we are so thankful for the mercy and the grace and the love that we have received, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the victory over death, for the promise that one day we will be where He is and we will see God and Jesus in their presence. So it is a good day. It is a great day. And we're glad that we can share it together. Today, as we prepare for the message for today, Brother Phil's going to be preaching again. In fact, you know, we serve a God of second chances. And Phil's getting a second chance at the sermon that he shared last week. And I'll tell you, having heard it last week, it was very, very powerful, very moving. And be prepared to hear God's Word faithfully presented. And so Phil gets a second chance as we serve that God of second chances to hear about the importance of the truth in the Scriptures and in the promises that are contained within them from 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, to kind of help prepare for the context and kind of get you ready for what's coming, allow me to share with you very briefly a short passage that Paul, when he was speaking to Timothy, shared some important counsel with him. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 12 and going to verse 17, the end of the chapter, this will get at the heart of what Pastor Phil will be bringing this morning. So 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred Scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation. And now get this phrase, because this is critical. Wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Don't forget that righteousness. That's the point. In righteousness. So that the people of God may be complete and equipped for every good work, or another way of saying that, for ministry to each other. So we are thankful that we can hear this message today. Also like to share with you that there's a birthday this week that we're celebrating. Aaron Hamlet Valentine has a birthday this Wednesday. So please lift her up. And we celebrate her birthday. Also, the deacons will be meeting Wednesday, February 3rd at 7 o'clock via Zoom. So look for the connecting announcement there, and we will meet this Wednesday. There are several prayer concerns that I'd like to share with you. Some that have come up since the last time that we met, and within the last, say, 2 weeks. Please continue to remember Amy Rigsby. She is going through some treatments right now, so lift her up and keep her in your prayers. Also, Susan Council asked for prayer for her Aunt Vesta and for her daughter who live in Texas. They both are experiencing and dealing with COVID. So remember them. Also continue to remember Dennis Massey as he recovers from his experiences as well. And I want to lift up a friend of mine, a fellow teacher who's been in the Raleigh school system for many, many years. Very strong family, very strong Christian family. Edward Constantine. He had some surgery a while back, and he's going through a period of time where some things that they're trying some different things. So lift him up. Lift him up. Lift his wife. Lift his children, his family. They're a very close, tight-knit family. Lift them up and ask that they experience God's presence and that they experience his strength. Also remind you to continue to remember J.R. Farrell, Tommy Haymore, who was brought to our attention by Mike Gentry, Hope Marlowe, Gwen Mumford, Peggy Berenger, Jimmy Council, Ronnie Venable. Continue to remember the journey that Lori and Mike Gentry are going on. And also Juanita and Aubrey Vickers and Ray Insko. We want to continue to remember each of these persons and continue to lift them up and place them on the throne of grace and ask for God's healing mercies of mind, body, and spirit. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we live in a time where it's not the accessibility of the Bible that's the issue. It's us taking the time to read it and to meditate upon it. Dear Lord, help us to take advantage of what has been provided for us. Your word. It's a guidebook. It's a help aid for navigating daily life. Yes, we have questions sometimes, and yes, we have doubts sometimes, but your word endures. And the wisdom that was contained in the ages past is still there. So, dear Lord, help us to commit to taking time to meditate upon your holy word. And as we are meditating on your holy word, may we also recognize what the living word has done in our lives. Our lives have been transformed on the basis of our association with Jesus Christ. It is through our faith in Christ Jesus that we are indeed justified before God. Dear Lord, allow us, help us to be more Christ-like. We serve a risen Lord. Lord, may our lives be transformed. May we be uplifted. May we be strengthened. May we be given the discernment and the vision that we need. Help us to see things as you see them. And then help us to act as you would act. Dear Lord, help us to be more Christ-like. Dear Lord, we're also thankful for your Holy Spirit, for that comforter, for that counselor who walks with us each day. Dear Lord, help us to realize that we are never, ever alone in whatever we might do. And dear Lord, we uplift the church. We live in a time where it's very important that we proclaim the good news, that we share the good news, that we baptize new believers, that we disciple and train. For there are many people who do not know you as Lord and Savior, and there are many people who knew you but no longer know you. Dear Lord, lift us up. Help us to be that group of people that you always envisioned us to be, that are willing to crash the gates of hell and to withstand whatever comes our way. For we are not weak. We are your ambassadors. Help us, dear Lord, to shine light in the darkness that so often prevails us. May we be that salt. May we be that light, because we are the embodiment of your love, of your unconditional love. Lord, help us to live our lives that way. Dear Lord, may we be the prayer warriors that we need to be. Dear Lord, prayer is the most powerful avenue we have. And we have it 24/7. It is a direct line into you with no interruptions. We're not put on hold. We don't get a busy signal. We don't get a dropped message. We do know that you will answer in your own time. And next week we'll talk about what your timeline looks like. But dear Lord, help us to be strong prayer warriors. May we go into our prayer spaces and take seriously the time that we have with you, that one-on-one time. And dear Lord, for each person that has been mentioned today, we're looking at disruptions in life, things being a little different than maybe what we had planned. But we know that whatever comes our way, you are there. And so for each person that is mentioned today, may they be able to see your footprints beside them. May they be able to feel your embrace, the warmth of your embrace. May they experience that peace which passes all understanding, which only you can bring. And may we be showered by the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. Uplift us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. And be with each person mentioned today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now today, I have a little bit different type of children's story. And I'm on a picture that you're kind of gathering in around me this morning. And I'm looking forward when you come back because guess what? We got a whole lot more room to where we can gather about and have our children's story. So really looking forward to that. But I want to ask you a question. And won't you be truthful with me? Have you ever been in a situation where, let's say, there were a bag of gummy bears on the table? And those gummy bears, they look real, real good. But the gummy bears are to be given to somebody else as a present at a party that you're going to. But you know, those gummy bears are good, aren't they? And the more you think about those gummy bears, you might just want to eat those gummy bears. And all you got to do is just, you know, take your hand there and grab them, and you could go off and eat them. Now, let's say that happened. And let's say your mom and your dad, or whoever's taking care of you, asked, "What happened to the gummy bears?" Now, you got something to think about now, don't you? Because you might say, "I don't know. I haven't seen them." Now, you know, if we did that, what would we have done? Would we have told the truth? Mm-mm. Because the truth is, we ate it, right? Yeah, we would have told a lie and not the truth. Or, let's say you're playing. And you're playing with your brother or your sister. And you get in a tuggle and a tussle. And nobody is around. And, you know, it kind of gets intense. You know, we do that sometimes. And you might just have shoved them against the wall or the door. And it might have hit them on the side of the face and left a mark. Yeah, it had to leave a mark, didn't it? Yeah, it left a mark. And so, again, whoever was taking care of you, your mom, your dad, or whoever might be taking care of you, they may ask, "What happened here?" "I don't know. I don't know." Yeah, you do know, don't you? Here's something I want to share with you with this part. Always tell the truth, even if it hurts, and even if you might have to pay a price for it. In the long run, you always want to tell the truth. Now, why am I getting into all of that? You know what I have right here. This is the Bible. And right now, you get to hear a lot of stories about the Bible. And that's good. And one of these days, before long, you'll be able to start reading parts of the Bible. And that'll be really great. But for right now, you get to hear a lot of stories. And one of the things that we know about the Bible is it tells us that God loves us. It tells us that Jesus loves us. And it also tells us that we want to be more like Jesus. In fact, in the Bible, it talked about being a disciple of Jesus or a follower of Jesus. And you know, that's important because I want to share you something that Jesus shared with his disciples, and it's this. And he was talking about, if you really want to be one of my disciples, or if you're really one of my disciples, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Well, that truth which sets you free, you can find right here in the Bible, in God's Word. So I want to share something with you this morning. Two words. One, you see, L-I-E, That's the word for lie. And we talked about what that was. And then you see truth down here. T-R-U-T-H. We always want to tell the truth. And what I read you was from John 8:32, which is in the Bible. And it talked about the truth setting you free. But here's something I want you to remember as we finish today. You see this little sign here in the middle? It looks like a sidewalk with a line running through it, or maybe a sidewalk with a broomstick across it, or something like that. That little sidewalk sign is really an equal sign. It means that what's here is the same as what's here. But when you put a line through it, it means it does not equal it. And so here's the important point. A lie is not the truth. Okay? A lie is not the truth. The truth is here in the Scriptures, and it is not a lie. God loves you. Jesus loves you. We all love you. And have a great day wherever you are today. We'll see you. Just to be
God, the God of second chances. I don't want to get into an argument. I will say, you can go ahead if you like, if I had the liberty to choose. You can put on my tombstone, he never preached the same sermon twice. So in some ways, I don't have a second chance, but I am in a do-over mode because we had some technical difficulties. We always have difficulties. But second chances. You know, when Robbie said that, I started thinking, you know, we actually don't always get a second chance. Sometimes there are moments in our life where we have to make a decision. And we're either for Jesus or we're against Jesus. We're either there to help or to hinder the proclamation of the gospel. God is a God of many chances. If you ask some people like me, God has been extremely patient with this man, and I am extremely thankful for that. Today, I have the luxury to tackle the second chapter of Peter's second epistle. And so Peter, who is this Peter? Peter, the fisherman, who was called by Jesus. Peter, the brother of Andrew. Peter, part of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. Peter, the rock upon which Jesus builds his church, because he clearly says to Jesus' question of, "Who do you say that I am?" "You are the Christ," Peter says. "You are the Son of the living God." It is that faith and proclamation of Peter that we have that you are the rock. He is the spokesman of the inner of the 12. And he is also one we remember who has denied Jesus. Yeah, Peter made some poor decisions. I think many of us have at one time or another. Today's sermon title, if you'd like to track that, I'm going with Christ Crucified, Confessing Communities. Christ Crucified, Confessing Communities. And let me give you a little bit of overview, if this will not take very long. And then I'm going to focus in on a couple verses. 2 Peter chapter 2, in a nutshell, is simply Peter is arguing with the reader. That's us, and it's people that have existed for thousands of years. Because some things don't change. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Peter is rebuking the reader for some poor behavior, some terrible decisions. Some living life in a bad way. And in the second chapter of Peter's second epistle, it can be kind of tough. But I want to focus on the first couple verses of 2 Peter. Verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. You know, that in itself is a tough passage to read, especially if you're a teacher. You see, preaching the Word of God is, what is my job? My job is to teach the truth. My job is to preach Christ crucified. My job is to bring the good news. My job is to preach Christ crucified, which is the good news. And everything hinges upon that one understanding of Christ crucified. You look at Peter's sermons, Christ crucified. What does that mean, Christ crucified? Well, obviously Christ, Messiah, Savior, crucified, dead. Oh my gosh. How in the world can the one who saves be dead? That is the beginning of our life, is placing our trust in the fact that God Himself emptied Himself and died on a cross. Good Friday becomes Good Friday only because of Easter Sunday. But if we run to some empty tomb without picking up our cross and following Jesus, then that is what Bonhoeffer would call cheap grace. But as a teacher of the gospel, there seems to be a little bit more demands. I'm the one who's most vulnerable to have the millstone around his neck. You know, Peter says, false prophets. And we look back in Scripture, and we see false prophets throughout Scripture. Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who wear sheep's clothing. But actually, they're just ravenous wolves to take advantage of you. So, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons and do all these great things? And we preached your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Well, clearly, what happened there was there was self-interest, there was self-gain, there was greed, there was all sorts of things that tainted the message that was being offered. There was something wrong with the message. Maybe it was flattery, trying to accommodate different people, trying to make everybody happy. I mean, I struggle with Jesus saying, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. And what does that mean? He's bringing a message that can be divisive. Because either you're with me or you're against me. Either you're going to help me or you're going to hinder. Jesus in the 24th chapter of Matthew is talking about false prophets. Like they're coming. False messiahs. You'd be amazed how many people live in the world today who consider themselves to be the Messiah. Yeah, there have been plenty in the past, but there are people who are living today. In the year 2021. John's epistle, first epistle, fourth chapter, says that unless you confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, Christ crucified, is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now, he is already in the world. And here we're talking about false prophets. We can see the false prophet in the book of Revelation, who eventually is thrown into the sea with the beast. And that's a great ending to a lovely story, because there's not going to be any more tears or sorrow. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. We won't need the sun or artificial illumination, because the radiance of God is going to illuminate our lives in that wonderful place that we all look forward to, that we call heaven. Now, destructive heresies. This word heresy is actually, if you go back before the time of Jesus, a couple hundred years or so, and philosophers would use this term, and it would simply mean like a way of thinking, a particular thought, like this is what this particular philosopher believes, and it was a fairly neutral term. The word heresy has actually been transformed through the church in the way that we understand it today. And heresy, let's think about this. So in baseball, we have the designated hitter. In 1973, the American League decided they wanted to have a position, the designated hitter, that would step in to hit for the pitcher. It prolongs careers. There have been people who have had a whole career in the major league level as a DH. Now, for some people, a traditionalist, they would say that is heresy. Now, under the COVID conditions, both leagues actually implemented the designated hitter in last year's season. Heresy. Some would say if you are wearing two different brands of clothing, I've got my Nike shoes on and my Adidas pants, that's heresy. That is just blatantly wrong. Heresy. And perhaps the most poignant illustration would be, one cannot support Duke and UNC at the same time, or even in one's lifetime for that matter, if you're a hardcore, right? That's just heretical. That's heresy. Well, that's how the term evolved. And we see it here in Peter's letter, destructive heresies. And so notice that they come in secretly. But notice what Peter says after that. Even denying the master who bought them. How in the world can somebody deny the master who bought them? That's Jesus. And how did Jesus buy us? Only with his blood. Jesus says he has not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's how we were bought. We were bought with the blood of Jesus. Heresies in the church, many of the creeds, the classic formulas of what Christianity is all about. Now, everything is going to go back to that one term, Christ crucified. Everything is built upon that. My hope is built on that. Your hope is built on that. It's built on the blood and righteousness of Jesus. There is none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is totally dependent upon our faith in Jesus, upon his righteousness, upon his work on the cross. That is our hope. And we think about heresies in the church, denying the reality of the resurrection, denying Jesus actually went to the cross. Some would say that God adopted this Jesus of Nazareth to be his Son of God. Heresy. That it only appeared as if God himself, Jesus, died on the cross. The old switcheroo was Simon of Cyrene when he carried the cross. That there are various things that were not assumed. Well, the classic maxim is what has not been assumed cannot be redeemed, and we desperately need and desire Jesus to be everything that we are, yet sin. And so Jesus, fully human, fully divine, Christ crucified, he died on a cross. He built a bridge to cross the chasm and separation between God and humanity. That is our hope. You know, Peter writes in his first epistle, somewhat of a little creedal statement, in the third chapter. He says, "For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. And a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God." That is our sign to the world. Baptism is our sign to the world that we are followers of Jesus. But how are we living our lives as Christians? Heresies. Heresies just sneak in there. It's like a wedge driven in a piece of wood that slowly goes in. It's just pounded in, and then it's split. And now communities are split and splintered over the truth. But if we cannot profess and confess Christ crucified, that's sad. You know, Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, in his first letter, you know, in chapter 13, it's all about love. In chapter 14, there's division. In chapter 15, he has kind of this creedal statement, and it's about resurrection. It's a great treaty of resurrection, but it's going right back to Christ crucified. We must proclaim Christ crucified. That is the truth. That's our faith. Heresies. There are so many little heresies where the truth has become twisted. You just turn it just a little bit. Well, I don't know where the gummy bears actually went, right? I don't see them anymore. The truth will set us free. You know, a wedge is a simple tool. The inclined plane, the lever, the wheel and axle, the pulley, the screw, the wedge. It gives us a mechanical advantage. You know, Jesus is not only our mechanical advantage, he's our only advantage. He's our only hope. You know, I've been tossing around this idea of the COVID wedge. You know, we're separated from God, but Jesus builds that bridge. What I call the COVID wedge, if you think about the word COVID, C-O-V-I-D, where the V is the wedge, which separates communities from the individual. Christ has called us to serve one another. And one thing that I've noticed, and I wonder, is how can we serve one another when our communities are separated? I mean, help me do that. How do we feed the sheep? That's something that I'm just struggling with. What's interesting is you read later in the second chapter, one of the terms of luring people is to bait a hook. To bait a hook. Wow. The fisherman using a term to bait a hook, to lure. And he's talking about people luring others away from the truth of Christ crucified or the life we're called to live. Are we here to help or hinder? Are we here to feed the sheep or bait the hook? It's one or the other. I want to feed the sheep. And that's what Peter was called to do. After the resurrection, that glorious morning where he's not here, why do you seek the living among the dead? And Peter, the miraculous catch of 153. and after breakfast, feed my sheep. How do we do that in a COVID world, socially distanced? Help me do that. You know, Martin Luther died a heretic and a hero. On January the 3rd of 1521, the Catholic Church deemed him a heretic for his speaking out. And the term is indulgences. But what it's boiled down to is you can buy forgiveness. Friends, remember the only way that our forgiveness has been bought is through the blood of Jesus. It is only in Christ alone that we have hope. And that's part of that Reformation where Luther was so instrumental. For some, he's a hero. For some, he's a heretic. But let me offer this for the COVID wedge. Christ offers victory in death. It's his death that gives us victory. That's our hope. It's in our faith in Jesus and his work. It's in the grace of God alone that we have hope. And it is in Christ alone that we have hope. In faith alone, in grace alone, in Christ alone, Christ crucified. Are you willing to accept that truth? Are you willing to live that truth? Are you willing to help feed the sheep? For we've all gone astray. We do not want to be wolves in sheep's clothing. We want to be a sheep of the flock of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. If you need to make a profession of faith, a rededication of your life, to say, yes, sometimes life gets a little twisted, that things wedge into my life, but I am standing on that solid rock, the work of Jesus Christ. Just reach out to God. I guarantee you, he will give you a second chance. In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone is solid. Through the fierce Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God.